Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, South Bay Spotlight, on October 18th, 2018. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Academy of Foreign Languages. If you have any interest in learning a new language or brushing up on existing language skills, you should know about the Academy of Foreign Languages. Located in Palos Verdes, the Academy of Foreign Languages specializes in the art of communication. Their mission is to provide the finest language instruction possible. They recognize that each student has distinctive needs and craft their teaching technique to optimize an individual's particular learning skills. At the Academy of Foreign Languages, they strive to create a comfortable environment conducive to learning. So whether you're learning a new language or would simply like to converse in your native tongue, the Academy of Foreign Languages can accommodate you. For additional information, visit their website at academyofforeignlanguages.com, that's all spelled out, or call 310-975-4133.
I'm your host, Joe Terry, and you can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/ The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose, that's what we talk about here on The South Bay Show. And of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with South Bay by Jackie.com. And executive producer of the South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing today?
Well, I am okay. I think I broke my finger yesterday. My
what?
Pinky is a little My pinky is a little cockeyed. It's bearing south. I don't know. I think I better go to the doctor today. We had our carpets cleaned yesterday, and I was moving some furniture and dropped something on my finger, and I think it's broken or fractured or something. It's ballooned and it's purple. So
ballooned. It's purple. Is it throbbing?
Yeah, and it's crooked.
Yeah. Okay. The crooked part is a good indicator.
Yeah. You know
Very
when
good
you.
Indicator.
You know how when you splay your hands and all your fingers go up? Well, the pinky's kind of going sideways. So, I think I should get that. I should get that looked at today. But other than that, I'm excited for a couple of reasons today. Our topic is something that I've heard a lot about, but I know absolutely nothing about. So we're gonna learn something. We're gonna get some information today, which I always enjoy.
Right.
And the other thing I wanted to mention is that. We are giving away two tickets to Shade Hotel in Redondo Beach, the Oktoberfest, this Sunday, October 21st, from 3 to 6:30. Authentic German food, drinks, DJs, contest. They're going to have it on their second story event space, the Horizon level. Costumes strongly encouraged. Get out the Lederhosen. These tickets are $25 and $50. So. So we're going to give away two tickets today to that. All you have to do is call in. We're going to give out the call-in number in about 15 minutes. All right. So, first person to call in gets two tickets, for the, it's Oktoberfest, the annual Oktoberfest celebration and Shade Hotel's second anniversary party. So it's a
second anniversary already.
Yeah. They've been open 2 years.
Yeah. Time flies. Yeah, I know. Two years. Time flies.
It does. So, we're going to give away two tickets to that. So, as I said, we'll give out the number in about 15, 20 minutes, and people, whoever calls in first gets the tickets, okay?
Right. It's wonderful. Okay. First come, first serve. Get your tickets. We'll give you the number closer to the half hour. But you're going to want to listen to this show because, Jackie, we've talked about that. The age wave, the silver tsunami. I forget
senior
the number
tsunami.
Exactly. How many 10,000 people? 10,000 people a day turn 65.
Yeah, starting in 2001, baby boomers started turning 65. So, as of January 2011 or whatever it was, 10,000 Americans every day are turning 65. And this is going to go on 20 years.
Right. Many of them have mortgages. Many of them maybe haven't saved as much money as they should have. So their 401ks are a little light. Their savings and their ability to handle the bills on a day-to-day basis is a little light. And then there are solutions out there. As a matter of fact,
one other thing that you're mentioning that, you know, it's not something that's top of mind, but just last night I had the TV on in the background, news or something, and, you know, something you got to keep in mind, you know, one medical emergency can wipe out your savings. You know, we don't think about that. You know, we think, okay, we have some money in our 401k, we have some investments, you know, we're healthy, we have health insurance. But even if you have health insurance, one serious illness can, parents used to say, literally put you in the poorhouse. Yeah, so that's, you know, something else to think about.
I'm excited to get our guest on, but I have to say there's so many other things that we've, you know, from other guests we've learned and things that I've learned in previous entrepreneurial aspects. It's not just getting sick. It's not just getting better. You are much more likely, the numbers are staggering. You're 10 times more likely to have a serious chronic illness in which you need care, special care, expensive care, than you are to die. 10 times, maybe 50 times more likely than to die.
Yeah.
So people think, oh, well, I've got insurance. I mean, I've got life insurance. I'm covered. No, you're not. You're more likely to live and drain your bank account and be poor. It's just that's what you're more likely to do.
Yeah.
And
people
are not prepared.
There are a lot of sinkholes on the road of life that you could step into and never be seen again. Right, exactly.
All right. What we need is a sinkhole expert, Jackie. Who's our guest today?
Our guest this morning is Henry Munoz from South Bay Equity Lending. Now, Henry is an expert in reverse mortgages, which have become very popular in recent years. In addition to reverse mortgages, he also originates veteran loans, purchase loans, and refinance and debt consolidation, among many others that the big retail banks are unable to provide turn you down for. Now, if you decide that you would like to purchase or sell a property, Henry is also able to assist as a licensed agent. He has many approved buyers and investors ready to buy commercial or residential properties. His goal is to provide solid information to every client, and impressively, his business is 90% referral. Now, as we were talking about this morning, we're going to learn about reverse mortgages and some other available loan options that Henry specializes in. Welcome to the program, Henry. We're so glad you could join us this morning.
Well, thank you for having me on your show.
Thank you for joining us. And Henry, let's start off with, I know that you're in this business and you study the numbers, and we have a lot of questions about reverse mortgages, but I want to start with the size of the problem. Give me your sense of the size of the problem in terms of people not having saved enough money for retirement.
Well, what I can tell you is that the typical borrower that I encounter is somebody in their 60s, 70s, 80s, and actually 90s. Many of them still have an existing mortgage, although their retirement income does not support their lifestyle. You know, you have your car payment, your auto insurance, your homeowner's insurance, you have your cost of living. And many times when people retire, the money they receive monthly is not enough, although they do have good equity in their property. And I run across this on a daily basis where people are pretty much stuck, where they're at a point where they're barely making it, or they're borrowing from one of these cash advance places, and they have to keep on borrowing over and over again. in addition, many of them cannot qualify to refinance their house because they don't have enough income to refinance. So they're stuck. Now, the other option is sell your house and get get money from the proceeds. But now where do you go? Now you have another mortgage or you're going to be renting. So when a borrower initially calls me, you know, we spend about 2 hours on the phone, or I meet with them at their house and basically find out what their needs are. Once I find out what the needs are, at that point is when we do a really detailed analysis. It's about pages. And I tell them, you know, after this analysis, this will first tell you if you qualify. Secondly, it tells you if the numbers make sense for you. From there, I tell them to go to a financial planner. Talk to the financial planner, their attorney, or their trusted financial advisor, and get some input from them as well. Now, if they decide to proceed, from there, they have to go through counseling, through a HUD-certified counselor that explains everything. And from there, that's when the actual loan process starts.
Interesting.
So someone has to be quite honestly convinced, not only by their own personal financial advisor, but they have to go through an official government process before they can enter into this type of loan, what's called a reverse mortgage. Tell us technically what that means, a reverse mortgage.
Well, a reverse mortgage is actually, that's a term that's commonly used. The actual term is home equity conversion mortgage. What it is, you're converting the equity into your that's in your property into it's basically a reversal of a forward mortgage. So if you have an equity position in that mortgage, now you're converting that equity into a monthly payment, a lump sum payment, or a line of credit for emergencies. And what happens is that once the mortgage is closed, the borrower has the option of, you know, getting different forms of payments, which we determine before we close the loan, how they want to get paid on this. And then from there, the borrower never have to pay again their mortgage. There is no more mortgage. There's also the programs that are available where the borrower, we will pay the taxes and insurance, and they can live in that property. Or their spouse, both of them have to be on that loan, though, till they're deceased. So let's say a husband and wife. Go ahead.
Well, okay. We got to slow down so we can ask all sorts of questions. One of the things that is a big issue, particularly here in the South Bay, the older population, you know, people get married and they buy a home and they raise their kids in it, and the kids, you know, go off and start their own families. And I know that, you know, well, we kind of spread out all over the place. Americans do, but a lot of people like to stay close to their families, or they move back to be near their families if they've lived somewhere else. And one of the big issues is if you're older and you sell your home, but you want to stay in the neighborhood, chances are you can't afford it just because of, as I said, we're talking the South Bay in particular. You know, several years ago, my husband and I were thinking about downsizing, and it would have cost us more money to get into a smaller house. You know, so that whole idea of being able to stay where you are, as opposed to, oh, I'm going to sell my house and I'll get a condo nearby or something. You're going to spend just as much money on a smaller place in the South Bay. Is that right, Henry, for the most part?
Well, that's correct. South Bay is a very unique market. But, here's the bottom line comes down to this. If you want to stay in your house, You don't want to move. You'd like to stay there. It's a great product to give you the ability to live comfortably and not be stretched for money every month. I mean, some of these people I deal with just don't have money at the end of the month. It's terrible. One of my clients, actually, after we finished the reverse mortgage for her, we put, you know, I think it was around $45,000 in her pocket. And that's many times it's much higher. She said, the best thing about this is I can afford new tires for my car. And I'll never forget that. And because her her tire, she says, I can't even afford tires for my car. But, yeah, I mean, it costs a lot of money to now buy another place or even rent, especially in the South Bay. So this gives a homeowner the ability to not have any more payments, have some cash flow, and stay in the house. And also one thing is that FHA, these are FHA-insured loans. These loans go back to the 70s. But in the 80s, the regulations changed, where now they're one of the hardest loans to get, actually. Because they take about 90 days at a minimum to wrap up. And the compliance is, again, the compliance and the regulations that we have to be under on these are very tough.
So yeah, well, it's the government. They're not going to take any chances, you know. It's not like the flying 90s. Where you could just sign your name and date a paper and get 110% of the worth of your house, right? I mean, that was nuts. That's ended. They had to tighten everything in, which is good.
Well, sure, it's been tightened up, but the reverse mortgage market is the protections that are put in place are pro-consumer. If the consumer goes through the counseling and the counselor doesn't feel that they're not getting this or not understanding something, they will not give the certificate. We have to get a counseling certificate from a HUD-approved counselor. And sometimes, let's say they're just not understanding. The counselor goes, I don't feel comfortable with this. Then we explain again the program, or if we feel there's some issues going on there, then we back off. We back off from it, and that's how. So
now,
FHA loans are very.
Now, Henry, let's talk about this whole process in a different way. Let's ask, what type of borrower or what type of situation a family might be in where they are not good candidates for a reverse mortgage? Who would that be? You see them coming in the door and you say, I don't even have to get a HUD person in here to interview you because you told me X, Y, or Z, you're not a great candidate.
Well, one thing could be that there's not enough equity in the property. Number two, that there's liens against the property. That could be an issue. Another could be, that there's been some financial issues in the past. We still look at the finances of that person and the ability, to also have the extra funds to do things. We check if they're on Social Security. There's multiple check to see. Now, as far as candidate, let's say they wanted to sell their house in a few months. Well, why even bother? Don't even do this. So we have to look at the long-term plans of that homeowner. What's your long-term goals? What's your family? What's your family goals? It's basically more of a financial planning tool. That's why I always say it's good to also, people who are retired or 62 and over, it's good to have a financial planner. And maybe there's other options other than this.
So this is only for people 62 and over?
Right. The minimum qualifications are you have to be 62 and over. That's it. Now, as you get older, like let's say if I have somebody 75 years old, they're actually going to get more funds out of that reverse mortgage because the calculations on this are based on position of the property, with fair market value, what's the equity? Do they have a free and clear property? Do they have an existing mortgage? Number two, the age of that borrower, too. Now, as the borrower is older, the adjustments are made. So each and every loan is different. There's not a straight across the board loan on this. So we look
right. It's all based on what's the word of the people that study statistics. There's a term. Actuary. Yeah.
So it's
based on, say you're 72 years old and they use the actuary tables to figure out, okay, you're going to live this long. And so that's kind of the basic calculation, Henry.
Yeah. It's basically how long that person is most likely to live or the spouse.
Okay.
If it's a husband, we always go by the youngest of the two borrowers. So let's say the husband's 70 and the wife is 63. We go based on the youngest borrower on the file.
All right, and we're going to assume that they're going to live longer, so their payments will be calculated. They will be smaller. And of course, you said it would also depend on the equity they have in the home. And is this something that what if they have kids still living in the home?
Well, that's one thing that if they have kids still living in the home, then there's another adjustment made to that.
Okay.
This is typically set up for, mom and dad or husband and wife or the single person who don't have other people living in the house.
Mm-hmm.
So there's multiple adjustments made. That's why the scenarios vary so much. That's why each and every scenario that we do has to be specific for that person and that property.
All right. Well, that's a good – we've got a good base there, Joe. I think we're getting a handle on the topic. So let's do this. Let's give out the number. You wanna do the ticket thing so we can do
right.
This?
Okay, we're gonna give away some tickets, and this is not just an ordinary event. Shade Hotel Redondo. Shade Redondo Beach is really a signature property in the South Bay. Most people know about it. A lot of people maybe have never actually been inside the hotel. It's fabulous. It's fabulous, fabulous, fabulous. And the location cannot be beat. And I remember talking with Mike on a couple of radio shows where we talked about the construction costs ballooned because the Corps of Engineers told him that he really had to drive pilings down much deeper than he was anticipating to support the property, being that it's built right on sand. So they drove pilings down deep to support the property, and that ballooned the cost.
We're getting a construction history. Okay. We're getting a construction.
Well,
people just want the
you remember
people
that?
Just want
I
the number. I remember it. I remember.
Okay.
And they found
okay.
they found old railroad tracks they had to remove. They found an old seawall they had to work around. There was a lot.
Yeah.
But that was over 2 years ago.
Okay. The phone number is if you want to win tickets to this second anniversary event and Oktoberfest is 714-242-5288. Area code 714-242-5288. And we'll give that number out a couple more times. This is wonderful. Fantastic. And I guess we could do a station break. Yeah, Oktoberfest. I guess we could just complete the station break. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the South Bay Show. And we have a special guest with us, Henry Munoz, from South Bay Equity Lending. And we're discussing a very important topic, not just real estate, not just loans in general, but what are called reverse mortgages, equity loans based on the equity in your home. It's a government managed and regulated program to give people, older adults with mortgages, access to the equity in their home without having to leave the home. And you cannot be we're going to get into some more questions about exit strategies, and that's probably where we're going to go. So thank you for joining us today, Henry. So a lot of people, I mean, you've got some stiff competition, Henry, because you're competing. I don't know, you know, you're a good looking guy, but you got, you know, people like Tom Selleck you're competing with. Tom Selleck, you know, he's on the horn on TV selling access to reverse mortgages. What is the market for these types of loans today? What is it more? Tell us about the growth of the reverse mortgage industry.
Well, when you say Tom Selleck, actually, we have a few wholesale partners. AAG is who Tom Selleck represents as a spokesman. We have the wholesale. We're a wholesaler with them. So
okay.
One of the advantages is, and we have wholesale relationships with other reverse mortgage wholesalers, is that when we deal on a wholesale basis, many times we can offer a much better program, or I shouldn't say program. The programs are the same, but we can maneuver a little bit more being on the wholesale basis. So the competition, there's primarily maybe 10 wholesale sources. The public doesn't really know about most of them. They just see the two or three that's on TV. So competition, yeah, in any industry there's competition. Again, most of my business is referral-based, so I don't really feel I have that much competition. I tell the borrowers, you know, call up another place, get some ideas, and typically it's going to be within the general quote for the most part. That's
you know,
thing.
It sounds to me like, as you said, every loan is different based on the individual or individual situation. But it sounds to me like it's a lot of handholding. It's quite a process. And it's something that you are going to be spending substantial, you know, the client is going to be spending substantial time with you going through the process. You know, I'm sure there's a number of people out there that don't want to take the time, you know, don't invest the time in the client that, you know, to get what's best for them. But I bet you do, Henry.
Well, you know, it's funny. And I can really say this, every reverse mortgage client that I've had, I end up being long-term friends with because the process is a minimum of 90 days. Sometimes they take – I had one that took almost a year we had to – the property had some issues. So the you know, another thing is that the properties itself has to – we have an appraisal done on the property, and they have to be FHA appraisal standards. So if the property has an issue with it, like let's say termites, if it has paint exposed wood on it, if it doesn't have a water heater strapped in, these are things that take a while to do. But yeah, the reverse mortgages or home equity conversion mortgages, typically you're doing – about 3 to 5 more hours, 3 to 5, how should I say, you're spending a lot more time with that client.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a very long process as opposed to a standard refinance, can, you know, 30 to 60 days. A reverse mortgage, no. It takes a lot of phone calls, a lot of visiting. I usually visit the property first. So if there are some issues I see with that property that I know don't meet the requirements for an FHA appraisal, I'll tell them we need to get these things fixed before we even move forward.
So this it's not something that – it's something that you want to think about well in advance, or at least some advance. It's not a situation that where you're scrambling and something's happened and you need to do this now, because it can take time. So again, something you mentioned, your financial planner, your accountant, is this something that when people reach a certain age, that financial planners and accountants and attorneys say to them, you know, here's an option. Maybe you want to just start looking into it at a certain point before you need it, before it's, oh my gosh, I got to do this now. Is that something that people can go into it and kind of get pre-approved or something like that?
What I would first say is that before you reach the retirement age or 62 and over, you should already have a financial planner, somebody guiding you. A lot of the cases that I deal with, they've never had any financial planning because, you know, you hit 62 pretty quick. And many times the people just never planned. They should start getting a financial planner in their 20s, 30s for this. But as far as pre-approval, the approval is based on the application, the date and the time of that application, and the current market value. So let's say we do a quote tomorrow for somebody. 6 months from now, we have to redo that quote, or even sooner, because the market is constantly changing as far as values.
Oh, I see. Mm. All right.
Yeah, it's not something that you're rate alert. But it's not something that you get a pre-approval, and then 2 years later you come back and go, okay, I'm pre-approved. No, it's a constantly changing market, so it's based on the time of the application.
Interesting, mm-hmm. Interesting. Well, we all know that I can't think of the numbers off the top of my head, but as far as Americans go, we're not that great at savings. We're not that great at planning. As you said, most people don't have a financial planner until they absolutely need one. So I guess it is something that has to be in the moment. And unfortunately, a lot of times that, you know, something bad happens. Somebody comes down ill, or, you know, the kids are not comfortable with a parent, maybe, you know, staying in their home by themselves, or all right. So it is not something that you can necessarily plan for, other than being aware, maybe sitting down and talking to somebody and understanding the process and what it entails. So if a year or two down the road something happens and you find yourself in a position that you might want to use that, you'll at least you'll get it. You won't need the initial conference where you sit down and you go through what it entails.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, and a lot of times we deal with the children. The children will approach us and say, hey, you know, mom and dad, they're a little strapped. We have a home health aid now and there, but we cannot continue paying for the assistance that they get. So this is another route to pay for the assistance that many times people older will have to have in the house that, you know, they come in 2-3 times a week or whatever the case is. So this helps pay for, you know, again, the person remains in the property, but the other bills that start coming up, like the home health care aid or home health caregiver or whatever the case is. So, you know, it's also the children coming to us. And then, you know, the one thing I do see is there's a lot of misconceptions about reverse mortgages. I hear the craziest stories. If you go to my website, reversemortgage-hecm.com, it answers a lot of questions. So the things changed in the 80s when the government got involved and started really regulating the reverse mortgage market. So they're actually a very safe loan. They're extremely safe. The borrower will never have to pay a payment, and let's say they live to be 110.
Yeah.
They still never have to pay. It's insured. So, you know, that's the thing. It's a very safe program. In the 70s, it was pretty wild out there that the lenders were taking advantage of people. 80s, it completely changed. You know, FHA loans are, again, very regulated.
Good to know.
Another thing is that there's the misconception that you don't own your house. Of course you own it. You can sell it. You can refinance out of the loan. You can pay it off. You can will it to your family. You know, I mean, so you still have complete control over that property.
Well, Henry, that's one thing that people, you know, apocryphal stories that people who don't like reverse mortgages always come up with. I heard that, you know, the kids, mom and dad passed away and the kids couldn't pay the reverse mortgage off with the sale proceeds, or they wanted to keep the home and couldn't keep the home, had to sell. Talk about those issues where people might want to pass the home on to their children, but it's got this obligation that has to be paid off.
Sure. Well, that's one of the things in the financial planning part of this, and also with the HUD counselors, what's your long-term goals? Do you want to give this to the children? Do you want to put it into a trust? And you know, so these are the things to consider. Many times, you know, when we do the initial documentation with them, it goes over year by year by year where this mortgage is going to be at, you know, 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road. So if the children want to take over the property, yeah, they have an obligation to pay off the existing mortgage on that. Absolutely. Just like any other mortgage. So let's say mom and dad didn't have a reverse. They had a standard, what we call a forward mortgage. They would still have that same obligation. You know,
well, now
regardless.
With a standard mortgage, you can get insurance that will pay the mortgage when you die so that essentially your heirs get a free and clear property.
Mm-hmm.
Is that possible with a reverse mortgage?
Well, you know, I've never been asked that question on that. If it's available for the forward mortgages, I would assume it's available for the reverses. The main thing is the balance has to be paid off of that reverse mortgage. The family has about a year, right underneath the year, to make a decision whether to sell the property, refinance the property, or otherwise.
In the event that mom and dad pass away, yeah.
Right. So that's part of looking at it. A lot of people will do the reverse mortgage and then put the property into a trust. And you have a successor trustee who then from there will make the decision of what they want to do with that property. So they have the options. It'd be just like any other mortgage.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
that makes sense. Listen, I want to give out this number again because we got to give away these tickets.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Anybody that's listening, we got a couple of tickets to give away for Shade Hotel, Redondo Beach, Oktoberfest, and second anniversary party this Sunday, October 21st, from 3 to 6:30 in the afternoon. That's such a gorgeous time to be down in the harbor, you know, in the late afternoon, catch the sunset. It'll be beautiful. You win these tickets, you're going to enjoy some seriously authentic German food, drinks, there'll be a DJ, there's going to be contests. It's going to be a ton of fun. Get your Lederhosen out. Lederhosen out? Anyway, give us a call.
Leader.
Give us a call now. First person to call in, 714-242-5288, 714-242-5288. All right. So, Henry, I understand. Okay, so we've been talking about reverse mortgages. I think we got a handle on it. But you also specialize in some other loans, veterans I don't know what a purchase loan is, refinance and debt consolidation. Let's go through some of those.
Okay. Well, we specialize in a lot of the loans that the banks don't do. Banks, the big banks typically have to fit exactly in their box. And the majority of people don't fit in that box. So we offer many types of loans that are geared towards the borrowers who don't qualify at the banks, can't qualify at the banks. Many times borrowers are stuck in a loan that's not a really good loan for them, and they give up because their local bank told them, no, we're not going to do it. There's a whole market out there of wholesale lending with very good rates and terms that are available. So we can do refinances, properties that are in trust, a lot of divorce buyouts. There's a property, husband and wife are getting divorced. One partner can buy out the other partner. So there's many, basically any type of loan that's secured by real estate, if it can be done, we can do it. It has to make sense. A lot of investor loans as well, for single family residences, apartment buildings, things of that nature. So we do a lot of investor loans as well. A lot of loans that we do also are the types of loans that are for the business owners who have maybe an S corp or C corp, or they're not showing a lot of income. They're writing off, they're expensing out. We have loans that specialize for the borrowers who are business owners. A lot of doctors have that issue too. Many doctors have a good income, but their taxes are reflecting something differently, because the whole purpose of having a business is to, expense things out. So many times the banks will just turn them away. And so we look at the whole picture. Every property, every loan has a story. And that's the thing. We have to look at the story and figure out, does it make sense? And what can we do to help that person accomplish their financial goals with that property or properties.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Well,
so
it's a big fascinating.
Yeah.
It's a big world of finance out there.
It is. And one thing that's interesting is I always get the standard question, what's the rate? Well, that's really hard to say, because rates are constantly moving all day long, up and down, up and down, up and down. Rates are not people seem to think that a rate is here's the rate for everybody. No, rates move constantly all day long. I get alerts on my phone of rate changes. Rates are determined on the credit score, the type of loan, the loan to value of that loan. So, again, it's a very specific to that transaction, and that's what's going to determine that rate at the time. But the main question people should ask is, what is my payment, and is it a payment that you can afford on that? And that's the thing we have to, there's a lot of regulations now in lending, so there's a rule that's called the ability to repay rule. And that's for owner-occupied properties, that we have to show without a shadow of a doubt that that person can qualify and they have the ability to repay that loan. Part of the Dodd-Frank regulation 2010. Now, as opposed to an investment property, the regulations changed because now it's considered a business loan. So, again, you have owner-occupied properties that you're going to live in. So there's a lot of regulation with that, a lot of compliance issues. The compliance is unbelievable. But then if you're an investor, now the market really opens up, because there are different parameters set for investor type loans, whether it be for, again, a house or an apartment building, a commercial unit, or whatever the case is. So there's different markets, different rates, different terms for each and every type of loan.
So I know that there have been changes made to the tax code with regard to home loans. tell me if I'm getting this right. You can only in California, you can only write off. Is it $10,000 of your interest mortgage loan interest rate? Is that correct, Henry?
Well, on that one, anytime it comes to taxes or that, I tell the person, talk to their tax person. I don't go there because, again, for every person, it's unique and what they can and cannot write off. Is it an investor loan? Is it their single family residence? So there's a lot of variables and everything. So I tell them, talk to your tax person on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I've just we had a second home for years. We sold it about 4 years ago, so I haven't paid much attention to it. But that mortgage on that second home now would be considered, you said, a business loan.
Well, it depends how you how that loan was originated. It could have been where you lived in that property, and you still had the current loan as an owner-occupied loan. See, so then. Again, what I'd like to do is see what was the original loan on the property. How was that done? I look at the paperwork, and from there we get an idea. So it really depends if that property was bought initially as an investment property with an investor loan, or was it bought as a owner-occupied standard FHA, VA, or conventional loan.
Mm-hmm.
Again, more variables.
Yeah, it's all very specific. It's all very specific to each lender.
Yeah, and to each borrower.
Loaner.
Yeah, because, you know, there's nothing that's straight across the board. And that's why I said every loan, every homeowner, every borrower has a different story. That's why I like to keep things very general because every file that I look at, there's not one that's the same as another file. That's what we have to – a lot of considerations involved in each transaction. And the type of loan. And, you know, like investors, many of them will – they love adjustable rate mortgages. Investors love those because you're paying a much lower amount. And then, you know, it adjusts every year to a cap. It's capped at a certain amount. Most homeowners elect to go with a 30-year fix, which is the safest mortgage out there. It's 30 years fixed no matter what. What we're seeing a lot is a lot of homeowners who want to pay off their mortgage quicker, they're going with 20-year and 15-year mortgages, which also offers a better rate typically than a 30-year mortgage does. Most borrowers do not have the they say they will pay off their mortgage quicker because you can add towards principal each month or once a year. You can lower a mortgage. Most people don't do that. So the 20-year or the 15-year mortgage or even a 10-year has a higher payment, but you're saving a ton of money as opposed to a 30-year.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the thing is, can they afford the 10-year mortgage as opposed to a 30-year or the 15 or a 20? Most people like to go with a 20-year, you know, a 20-year mortgage, and that cuts off a lot. It saves them a lot of money, a 20-year. And then if they're consistent with adding even more towards the principal, they can really cut down that 20-year to a 10-year or a 5-year. I see people who pay loans off a 20-year or a 30-year in half the time or less because they're pushing in towards that principal amount. They're adding money towards the principal. So that's another thing people can do on their own is just add each month to their principal.
Okay. Well, I'm going to throw this at you because Joe and I, with all the various people we talk to on this show across all walks of life, millennials, the millennial factor, rumor has it, you know, from what we hear and statistics and stuff, and you see on the news and read, that millennials are of a completely different mindset than prior generations. It used to be you grow up, you get married, you buy your home, you have children, you amass things. You know, you buy cars and you know, and electronic equipment, all this stuff. And what we keep hearing is that millennials aren't into ownership. They stream their music and their movies, and they don't buy the physical stuff that prior generations did. Everything to them is at their fingertips through their computer or their phone. Are millennials stepping up and doing mortgages, or have you seen not you, just you, but maybe in your office and, you know, people you work with, are millennials jumping into the mortgage loan?
Well, what I read on this one, you know, across the United States, is a lot of them are not jumping in. They're renting. They're not buying. You know, so again, now I've done transactions where you have a millennial who is buying. It's a different breed. Some understand, okay, you know, some of them are going in early and buying a property. One of the hardest things, though, for a young person now is here in Southern California is the prices. Most millennials can't afford to buy. That's one of the things that I think is preventing the younger generation is in buying. It the cost of a home is too high, and they can't afford it. Now, some can, but the majority can't afford it. I mean, we look at the rents, we look at the cost of properties. No, that's one of the issues.
Oh, so you believe it's because well, Southern California, it is too expensive. I mean, we always joke on this program, and it's not a joke, that the kids that grew up in the South Bay aren't going to be able to afford to live here once they move out of their parents' house. You know, that's a running joke that we have. I'm curious. As I said, we are the South Bay show, so we always are specifically talking about the South Bay. But I'm just curious, do you have any knowledge of outside of this area, or even other states? Like, are millennials not? They just don't want to be bogged down with a mortgage, or if in other places they are investing because they can't afford it.
Well, one thing I do see, and this is just personal opinion, you know, I read a lot of the mortgage industry stuff every day, and once you leave the Southern California market, I think there's more purchases going on because it's cheaper. Also in the Inland Empire, I moved from the South Bay to the Inland Empire out in Temecula for quite a long time, and then I moved back. But I saw a lot of people from South Bay, actually a lot of people I grew up with out here, who had moved out to Temecula, Marietta, and things of that nature in that area. And it was simply the affordability factor out there, where you can buy a very nice house. But again, if you're working in L.A. or, you know, you have to deal with the commute and the heat and all these other things too. So it really depends on that individual. You know, the South Bay market's very expensive, but again, you're paying for one of the best locations, in my opinion, in the world. I love the South Bay. That's why I moved back. You know, it also really depends on the news source, where you're getting that news from. But no, I'm not seeing a lot of millennials purchasing myself at this point. But
all right, so you're hearing the same thing we are. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but some other lenders may have a bunch of millennials that they've done purchase transactions. Most of my clients are typically 40 and over. And that's about my 40 to 80. That's about the average that I typically deal with.
All right.
Oh, I know I had some questions, Henry, about business growth. Like, is your business growing? Are you hiring new agents? What's going on with the business in terms of growth?
Well, yeah, the company is always hiring new loan officers. Actually, today there's a grand opening with the Redondo Beach Chamber and the Chamber of Commerce for the new location on Pacific Coast Highway. We went to a larger location. We're at 1611 South Pacific Coast Highway in Redondo Beach. And so there's a big grand opening going on today. But, yeah, no, it's growing. It's growing. We have a niche that with our wholesale partnerships, we're able to do a lot of the deals that others can't do. So that part of the growth. We get a lot of business from people who have been turned down by other lenders, not only the banks, but other lenders too. So,
right.
You know, but no, we're always hiring. They have to have their mortgage license, go through all the education, go through the national mortgage license testing, which is not easy. Background checks, state and federal background checks as well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Henry, give us, we learned a lot here today. Give us your contact information. Give us a website, phone numbers, emails, so people can get in touch with you if they have any further questions on this topic.
Well, sure. My direct line is 310, area code 975-9739. The reverse mortgage website that I have is reversemortgage-hecm.com. And the company website is southbayequitylending.com.
SouthBayEquityLending.com. So are you no longer in Riviera Village? Where did you say the new office was?
We just moved a few weeks ago, right around the corner to 1611 South Pacific Coast Highway in Redondo, right one street past Avenue I.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're just right around the corner. We went to a bigger location.
Oh, you need more room.
Yeah, that's what it came down to. Needed more room. So we're still, you know, two blocks away from the beach and right there, very accessible on PCH there.
All right, good to know. All right, well, it looks like we're not giving away these tickets to AJ, so we'll have to give them away tomorrow.
I guess. Okay. We'll try to give them away tomorrow.
All right.
You don't want tickets. I guess people don't want tickets out there for one of the best parties in the South Bay at Redondo Shade. You have 2 minutes to call in, 714-242-5288.
I wouldn't even bother. Well, most people listen to this, you know, after the fact, you know, a lot, you know, most people are either on their work or something. And we know for a fact that, you know, 90% of our listeners are after the fact. But we generally usually have, you know, several live listeners. So that's unusual. And we get calls even when we're not giving out tickets. So, so we can remind me to, you know, we'll give them away tomorrow, because if I don't make a note, I'm going to forget about it.
Okay. All right. I sure will.
All right. Then we need to wrap this
up.
And the other thing I wanted to mention is Henry is an advertiser on my website. So if you need any more information, his ad is on my website. You can just click on the ad and it will take you right to his website. And as he mentioned, the website has all the facts, you know, the top 10 questions about reverse mortgage. There's a ton of information on that on his website. So southbaybyjackie.com, click on Henry's ad, and you can get a bunch of information, and his phone number's there, so you can call him if you need more.
Right. Excellent. Well, thank you very much, Henry, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, and I got to tell you, Jackie, your website there is fantastic. I look at it all the time. You know, anything to do in the South Bay, you got it right there. It's great. Wonderful website. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. I am working my little fingers to the bone. I appreciate that.
Great.
Henry Munoz, thank you, South Bay Equity Lending, and thank you, Jackie.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
That's our show, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you tomorrow. We're going to be covering the California propositions with Richard Montgomery, a councilman from Manhattan Beach, and we're just going to cover, I guess we're just going to cover the facts, huh?
Yeah. We're not taking any, stance on them. We're just going to go through them, what they are, the pros and the cons.
Right. There's 11 of them, propositions, and so we all should be informed. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.